It's the record. I'm Steve Scher. Tension is growing between the United States and its ally, Saudi Arabia, as President Obama's administration has moved towards a more diplomatic approach in the Syrian conflict. Officials in Saudi Arabia have expressed their opposition. Syria is only one of many regional disputes Saudi Arabia and the U.S. have differing opinions on. So what's the state of U.S.-Saudi relationships? Frederick Wary is Senior Associate in the Middle East Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He joins us. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So Saudi Arabia's intelligence chief told European diplomats that he was going to scale back cooperating with the U.S. I think he was somebody else also in the Saudi officialdom said they were tired of U.S. dithering. Why do the Saudis see the U.S. as dithering in the Middle East?
Well, this follows a very long trend of Saudi dissatisfaction and I think exasperation with U.S. policy. There's just a general sense that the U.S. is a power that's in retreat, that, you know, we're drawing down from Iraq and Afghanistan. But more specifically, the Saudis believe that we're not taking a hard enough line on Syria and more specifically on Iran. And then most recently, as you mentioned, the Saudis really believe that the rug was pulled out from under them on Syria.
They have their own problem with what's happening in Syria because of the power vacuum of the U.S. retreating, I guess, but also Iran has got its own power in Syria, confronting the Syrian interests, yes?
Absolutely. The Saudis view Syria as a centerpiece in a geopolitical struggle with Iran. It's a zero-sum game. They believe the fate of Syria will determine the fate of the broader region. And as you mentioned, the Iranians are all in. They have their Revolutionary Guards that are training the Syrian regime, the Alawite factions. And the Saudis have stepped up their support, of course. But it's important to remember here that there's a fundamental asymmetry. The Saudis just don't have the type of institutions or the type of experience in waging this sort of proxy war, really. And so they were looking to the great powers. They were looking to the U.S. to essentially take out Assad. I mean, they were really hoping for a military strike on Assad following the disclosures of the chemical weapons used by Assad.
Frederick Wary is a senior associate in the Middle East program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, taking a look at U.S.-Saudi relations that are strained over the Syrian conflict and their dissatisfaction also with the United Nations. Syria, the Syrian policy that has come forth from the Security Council has angered Saudi Arabia to the place where they don't want to even participate anymore.
That's right. I mean, this was a real big shock. At first, the foreign minister canceled his speech at the United Nations General Assembly. And then, of course, Saudi Arabia made the shocking move of turning down its seat on the Security Council, which it had worked for quite some time. But if you look at it in the light of their growing dissatisfaction, it has a certain logic. They wanted to send a signal to the United States, to the great powers. They did not want to be a part of this multilateral organization that they felt was taking a very unpopular and incorrect stance on Syria. So they just packed up and went home. I'm not sure what it really buys them, though.
There are advisors and Saudi watchers who say, look, where else is Saudi Arabia going to turn for support?
Well, that's absolutely right. There's often talk of the Saudis, retreating more to the Gulf to bolster the capabilities of the Gulf Cooperation Council. They've tried their own sort of look east policy to engage China, India. They're buying arms from the French. But in truth, there's really no power that can replace the United States in terms of providing for Saudi security. And that's why I think in the final analysis, the relationship is still solid despite this turbulence. It's solid on intelligence cooperation, on counterterrorism, and on the containment of Iran. I mean, in the midst of the Saudis complaining about Syria, the U.S. delivered very advanced bunker-busting weaponry that was planned. It was part of this larger shipment of $60 billion worth of arms. So we're still the only choice for them.
What's the Saudi support for Syrian rebels look like? Who are they supporting, and who are those people fighting?
The Saudis are in a difficult position. They are obviously fighting for the overthrow of Assad, but they're also very concerned about the rise of Al-Qaeda in Syria. So they've started backing more homegrown Salafi Islamist actors. They've just sponsored the creation of an umbrella grouping of sort of Syrian homegrown Islamists that's designed to be a buffer against the Al-Qaeda-linked groups, Jabhat al-Nusra, and the Iraqi the Iraqi variant of Al-Qaeda. And it's, again, this is a very dangerous game. They're walking a very fine line here. I think they're also concerned about the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria. So they know what they don't want in Syria, but they haven't really articulated a vision for a post-Assad Syria, and their policy is really proceeding in fits and starts.
The Saudis were mad at the U.S. for not backing the military's takeover in Egypt and getting rid of the Islamic Brotherhood. Is that because, in the end, the Saudis still fear the Islamic Brotherhood and groups like that?
The Saudis fear the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood. They were not happy when the Brotherhood held power in Egypt. This stems from a long history of tensions with the Brotherhood. The Brotherhood offers an interpretation of Islamism that is politically active, that the Saudis view as threatening because it contrasts with their own very quietist form of Wahhabism that they like to propagate. So they were concerned that this was a movement that could spread to their own shores, and they were very happy, I think, when the Egyptian military ousted Morsi, and they were upset that we didn't back him to the hilt.
On Saudi editorial pages, Saudi writers are talking about a more muscular unilateral approach and being shut out of negotiations in the region. But it sounds like they don't have much option at this point, the Saudis, other than to raise their voice.
I think you're right. I think this is a lot of grandstanding. I think we may see some slight divergences. They may try to back different actors. But in terms of a real, cutting a new course, they don't have many options. And you mentioned this, you know, that they're shut out of negotiations. And I think it's important to hear to mention the issue of Iran, that sort of the final straw in all of this was the phone call between Obama and Rouhani, which the Saudis viewed as signaling a warming of relations between the U.S. and Iran, which they see as threatening because they don't want to be shut out of the negotiations. They feel like a rapprochement between Iran and the U.S. may come at their own expense.
All right, sir. I appreciate you talking with us.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Frederick Wary is Senior Associate in the Middle East Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. I'm Steve Scher. It's The Record.